Ay bobo. Welcome to the Agua Cerrito podcast show, where we honor the divine, spark personal liberation, and deconstruct Haitian voodoo. I'm your host, Knowledge, also known as Konef Kife. Every episode is a digital offering to the sacred spirits, ancestors, and vibrant culture of Haitian voodoo. Through storytelling, interviews, and reflections, we will explore its roots, its power, and its impact. Voodoo is more than spirituality. It is life, legacy, and liberation.
Ma pe mande si pa gen gran moun o nan la koua. Mwen antre nan la koua. Ma pe mande si pa gen gran moun o nan la koua. Bonjou mama, bonjou piti kay mwen. Bonjou papa, bonjou piti kay mwen la. Mwen antre nan la koua, ma pe mande si pa gen gran moun o nan la koua.
Welcome to another episode of Agua Cerrito Podcast. Today's episode prompt: do you feel called to Haitian voodoo? Listen to this first. Today's episode is going to be one of a three-part season finale as we near the end of this phase of the podcast. And I cannot believe that we are entering into our season one finale. If you are already a seasoned and or established vaudouisant, as the saying goes, you can scroll. This specific episode is for those that are listeners to the show that may have a slight curiosity into Haitian vodou. They may be interested in Haitian vodou in some way, shape, or form. Or they feel some sort of call. They feel some sort of attraction to the faith. And that can take on many lenses. You know, there may be some that are new to learning about Haitian vodou and its practices, whether it is from an academic perspective. It can be for spiritual purposes or just out of like mere curiosity. You know, this episode is for those learning about vodou from a decolonized perspective for the first time and just trying to make sense of it all. You know, if you fit that description, today's episode has been created just for you. Nous pouvons parler grand monde à grand monde. So in other words, today's episode, we are going to have a real adult conversation. You know, in this past season, we took some time, we unpacked what I call a foundational level of really basic information about Haitian vodou. And today I want to take some time. I want to call these like rules of engagement. So I want to share some rules of engagement with you. If you are a listener and new to Haitian vodou, even on the fringes, you know, just kind of thinking about it, thinking about what all this means and feeling some sort of connection. You know, what I'm going to share as like the rules of engagement with you in this episode is going to be from my lens, right? From my perspective as a lifelong, what I call franguine vaudouisant, having been born and raised in this faith. And if you are new to the show, I highly suggest you check out episode 6 in this season, where I actually break down, like, what does it mean to be a franguine vaudouisant? Because that there's a specific title for a specific reason. And so what I share, everything I share in this podcast is from that franguine lens, including these specific rules of engagement. You know, as I think about it, I have about 5 rules of engagement that I want to share with you all. If you feel called to Haitian vodou. So I'm going to start with rule of engagement number one. Rule of engagement number one. Always, always, always approach Haitian vodou. Approach the laws, approach the communities, the practitioners. Approach Haitian vodou with the utmost honor and respect. I discussed this concept and this philosophy of, in Creole, we say honor and respect. So I discussed that in episode 12. So if you want to check that out and listen, just to kind of understand how important the sacred philosophy of honor and respect is. And so I think you should highly check that out. If you haven't listened to that, take a moment to listen to that as well. But in kind of a spirit of transparency, why do I say approach Haitian vodou with the utmost honor and respect? In the spirit of transparency, while I have been sharing information about Haitian vodou from a decolonized lens, I absolutely do not want to sugarcoat, romanticize, nor underestimate the seriousness of this faith tradition. its communities, and the divine beings that we love and know as the laws. I want to hold space for that perspective, in that Haitian Vodou is something to not take lightly at all. As a faith tradition that has, over the generations, over the decades, has faced tremendous persecution, has faced tremendous oppression, has faced tremendous marginalization, it is important for you to approach this faith with the utmost humility, utmost honor, utmost respect. Having said that, and again, you know, as I'm sharing this information, it is not to say that anyone is doing any of these things, any of our listeners are doing any of these things. I do want to be very clear about when I talk about the seriousness of this faith tradition from a flunginet lens, what is it that I mean? If you are seeking a path into Haitian Vodou solely to attain fame, to attain power, to attain wealth and riches, I'm sorry to inform you that you will be very, very disappointed. Haitian Vodou may not be a path for you. And I say that, it's not to say that there are not any Vodouisas that do not have utmost fame, that do not have power in a societal sense, or it's not to say that there are Vodouisas that are not wealthy. It's not saying that. I'm saying that if you are listening to this, you feel called to Vodou, and you're kind of, whether it's a conscious intent or an unconscious intent, if the idea is, oh wow, there is this faith tradition that I can potentially be a part of, and I'm going to be able to use that faith tradition just to become famous, to attain influence and power, and for me to obtain riches. If that is the energy and the intent that you are seeking this path, Haitian Vodou may not be for you. If you are seeking a path to initiate in, a spiritual path, I should say, to initiate in order to create an African-rooted identity and hold a title for the sole purposes of making money, Haitian Vodou may also not be for you either. And if you are seeking a path in order to cause harm, get revenge, bind others against their will, or any other forms of magic, if that is why you feel called to Haitian Vodou, again, either unconsciously or consciously, the path of Flungine Vodou, as I've described it in this specific podcast, may not be for you. And I share these purposes, these perspectives, because there's so much misnarratives out there. So I think sometimes, you know, individuals may come out of curiosity or, you know, thinking that this is a path of, you know, like a get rich quick type of path and religious system. And it is not. You know, Vodou, again, as I've said throughout the podcast time and time again, Vodou is all about reciprocity. It's all about creating and maintaining alignment in harmony and balance with the universe, with the cosmos. And so I just want to make sure that you're aware of these perspectives. And sometimes, you know, it's important to think about, sometimes the situations that we find ourselves in our lives is sometimes based on our intent. It's, and when I say intent, in other words, what is the energy that I am putting out in the world, right? What is the intent? So if I go out, let's say, to go to work, right? If I wake up in the morning and I get dressed and I go to work, the intent of going to work, right, is to make a living, right? And that is the intent, the energy that I put out there. right? So every action we take has a specific intent. And spiritual actions are no different. I believe that if your intent and actions in this specific faith tradition either do not align with your life's mission, they do not align to your, to the, you know, kind of the highest good of the, or the overall intent of being a Vodouisa, that sometimes can attract what I call trickster energy, right? And attracting trickster energy, which sometimes leads to harsh consequences in life, harsh circumstances, really harsh life experiences. Those experiences and consequences and circumstances, someone may be thinking, why is all this happening to me? And it is not about them happening to you. They are happening for you to get you back in alignment. You know, life lessons are designed to test you in a way to help you, or what I call offer you the opportunity to become more balanced, right? To create more of a harmonious alignment with the true essence of this religion and any other religion for that matter. So I think it's important that if you're seeking a path into a particular faith, whether it's Haitian Vodou or not, and you are walking this path and then you start to notice a lot of really negative consequences, circumstances, or experiences, you want to pause. Instead of saying, why is this happening to me? You know, the real question is, well, what actions did I take, or what intentions did I put out in the universe that is reflecting back in a mirror back to me and my life for me to have had, you know, created the space for a harsh yet necessary life lesson to have taken shape. So it's important to understand that, you know, Vodou is about reciprocity. It's about creating and maintaining harmony and balance. And if you go into a faith seeking to do anything other than to, you know, align with the essence of that faith, you know, that can sometimes create and attract unintended consequences. You know, so as I say this, you know, I am not in the business, and I think I said this in episode one, I am not in the business to judge anyone or to define what pure intent means. You know, to me, pure intent, if you, whatever your intent is within Vodou, that is a question for you to sit with, you know, to, for you to think about, and you have a conversation with yourself, with your higher self. You have conversations with your ancestors, for those that are in connections with laws and spirit guides. You talk about, you know, have those, that's a really important question. You know, why do I feel called to Vodou? What is it that I am seeking in my journey? What do I believe is my life's mission in this faith tradition? So I think it's important for you to take some time to really ask yourself, well, if you feel called to Vodou, why? Why do you feel called to Vodou? And particularly sit with that question. If you feel called to Vodou and you do not have, let's say, an ancestral connection to the faith, there are many amazing, amazing Vodou practitioners that either are not Haitian, they're not of Haitian descent, and they are not connected through ancestral lineage, but they had a very clear life mission that aligned with the path that they sought. So it's not to say that, you know, you have to be Haitian in order to practice Vodou. That's not what we're saying. I think it's just making sure you are really clear on what your intent is, and ensuring that the intent that you're putting out there is going to continue to create and maintain harmony and balance within yourself, within your life, and within your spiritual journey. Now, there are some exceptions to that rule, right? Sometimes we're called, let's say, to Haitian Vodou or to any specific spiritual faith. But in the idea of keeping, you know, in keeping with this idea of harmony and balance, sometimes individuals have inherited ancestral problems, right? They've inherited ancestral spiritual problems that are affecting their lives. And, you know, I find that especially in the era and the time that we are currently living in, there are lots of individuals that have incarnated on this earth that are what I call generational curse breakers. They are the ones that their ancestors had selected to be incarnated during this time in history to help bring the lineage forward, right? Aibobo to those who have that path. And you may be one of those, right? So, you know, being aware of how sometimes, you know, being the one to break generational curses or being, you know, start to align with your spiritual path, sometimes that does also create unintended consequences as well. But being in alignment and always moving with a sense of pure intent will always keep you in harmony and balance. Even with the inherited ancestral problems, you will find a path forward. It may seem impossible, but you will always find the light, especially if that is what you feel is your destiny or your journey in this specific incarnation. So as I kind of wrap up, you know, this first rule of engagement around approaching Haitian Vodou with honor and respect, you know, Vodou is not about flashy rituals or flashy outfits or, you know, cool titles. Vodou is about true connection, right? And a lot of Vodou, as a Vodouisa myself, a lot of Vodou is about prayer. It's about doing focused work. It's about following inspired, intuitive action day by day to unveil, you know, to continue to reveal your life's journey. And you continue to reveal how you not only support and align with your path, you support and align the path of others, you know, that you bring light to others on their path, right? So the path of a Fanguine Vodouisa, it's about consistency. It's about humility. And it's about cleanliness. And when we say cleanliness, like thinking spiritual cleanliness, as well as physical cleanliness and care in everyday life. And it's how we connect with our roots. We stay connected with our communities. We stay connected with humanity. And connected is not always these grandiose, you know, huge gestures. Connection, real connection on a day-to-day basis or on a regular basis, are small, consistent, powerful acts of connection. And that is with yourself, with your lineage, with your ancestors, with God, and with the laws. That leads me to rule of engagement number two. Rule of engagement number two, trust the timing of your journey. My biological mother, she always had a saying, and she used to say, share with me that I will share with you. You know, in Haitian Vodou, we say that Guine is never in a rush, and neither should you, particularly when it comes to a spiritual journey. You should never, ever, ever be in a rush. You should let, you know, your personal journey and your ancestors, the laws, you know, they pace your spiritual journey. And sometimes when folks are kind of quote unquote in a rush, right, they're in a rush to check the box, to do this, to do that, right, that can sometimes lead to disastrous spiritual results. When you try to force something or rush into something that you may not really be quite ready for, or it is just not the right time. You know, for some of our listeners, just taking the time to listen to these episodes and, you know, you do your own research, obviously, and just kind of leaving space for self-reflection. For many of you, that may be all you need right now on your spiritual journey. For others, it may be that, hey, you're listening to this information, particularly from an academic lens. And maybe for you, it's just being an ally to the faith tradition, where if you hear someone mentioning a stereotype about voodoo, you can actually educate them, right, on the truth of the tradition from a decolonized lens. And for many of you, that's maybe all you need to do right now. For others listening to this podcast, it may be time to pick up the phone, right? And start answering those phone calls from your mother, from your father, your uncle, your aunt, your cousins, that maybe you've been dodging phone calls and emails about your participation in this faith, you know, especially if you were born, you know, come from a family where individuals practice, you know, and you maybe have been dodging this conversation, you know, maybe this is the time to start picking up those phone calls. For others, it can be that maybe their family have been, their own family, they've been really suppressing this in their family, suppressing the faith within their family. And maybe it's time for you to begin talking to your family and starting to do research and dig into your ancestral lineage. For another person, it may be just taking the time to educate your own family on a decolonized lens of this faith tradition. Everyone's journey is different. Everyone's path is different. Their reasons for feeling that calling to voodoo is different, and their seasons are different. Respect where you are on your journey, no matter where it is. When I think about trusting the timing of your journey, I think sometimes, especially from a Western lens, there's sometimes this perspective that, okay, if I'm searching for something, that means that I have to go outward, right? I have to take a class, I have to Google or use ChatGPT, or I have to go other places. I have to start, you know, getting divination. Like, I have to go out and do certain things. When the true path of voodoo begins inward. So contrary to Western beliefs, seeking faith and seeking the sense of alignment to the divine, right? When we say divine, we're talking about the supreme God and the laws and your ancestors. It starts from within. The inner work of a path to Haitian voodoo starts with you looking in the mirror at yourself, right? You have to start to really dig in deep and not just, you know, I mentioned earlier about, like, well, why is it that I'm seeking? Why am I attracted to voodoo? But also, you know, just really thinking about who you are and how you're showing up and what are the connections you have back to your ancestral lineage, right? And just kind of creating, I call it that sense of unveiling, that revealing that kind of happens over time, especially if you feel called to a particular path. Take your time. And I'm very well aware that voodoo is not a solo path, right? Typically, voodoo is communal in nature. It has that sense of orality, right? Being a voodooiza is a path where you learn through lineage. You typically learn experientially, right? Through your lineage. You learn through oral traditions. You learn from the guidance of someone that has been properly initiated in the faith. But take your time, right? Use discernment and, importantly, use common sense, right? Don't just jump into voodoo head first and, you know, attach yourself to individuals just because they appear to have a certain aesthetic of what you think a Wunga or a Mumbo or any type of spiritual leader should look like, right? Don't just jump in head first. Take the time to vet spiritual leaders. Take the time to vet spiritualists, especially before you do anything or give them any type of sensitive information. And when I say sensitive information, you know, in a Western lens, people typically think sensitive information is things like your social security number, or your bank account information or your passwords. Those are digital pieces of sensitive information. When I'm talking about spiritual sensitive information, those are things like your picture, things like your full name, things like your date of birth, things like your parents' names, right? Now, that may seem trivial from a Western lens, but in Vodou, every single piece of information about ourselves are considered sacred, right? So anytime you're giving out that type of spiritual sacred information, you want to make sure that you are trusting the individual that you are giving this type of information to. Even if it seems something as innocent and basic as like a card reading or any form of divination, any type of community work, just understanding there's a vast amount of power that you hand over when you provide this type of spiritual information to people. Okay. So you may be asking yourself, well, how do I vet a spiritualist? How do I vet a spiritual leader? How do I vet a card reader or, you know, someone that does divination? Keep in mind that in Vodou, everything is community, right? Everyone is interconnected. So if you encounter a spiritual leader, they should be able to tell you where they are from. And when I say where they're from, not just, okay, like they live in, you know, a certain part of the US or a certain part of UK. No, where are they spiritually from? Where are they spiritually connected to? For some individuals, that may be a particular habitation. For some individuals, that may be a particular laku. Sometimes you hear those terms interchangeably. For others, it may be a specific societe, right? You should be able to find out not only where are they from, but also when do they initiate? You should also be able to find out like who are their elders. And when you're given this piece of information, make sure to look into those spiritual communities, right? Research them as you can and discern if the values of their foundation align with your values. And if anyone gets offended, if you ask like for information about where they're from spiritually or who are their elders, if someone, gets offended when you ask that question or dodges the question, that is an automatic red flag. Because again, Vodou is community. Everyone is connected to a particular foundation communally. So just like throughout this podcast, I've talked about not only my mother and I talked about my ancestral lineage to the north, right? So I've talked about that, but I've also talked about my current spiritual community, which is Societe Nago. Like, everyone has these types of stories, right? Even if that individual is not of Haitian descent, there is somewhere that they are tethered to. And if they are not tethered to a particular community or they're not able to give you that information, that is a red flag. Trusting the timing of your journey is also knowing that sometimes it is a waiting game, right? And if you are not sure, I am a big fan of waiting. Again, I'm going to say that again. If you are not sure, if you're not sure about the spiritualist, you're not sure about what path to take, you're not sure where to go, who to talk to, pray and wait. Go inward. Anytime you're not sure, go inward. As my biological mother used to say, if you're not sure, don't do anything yet. You want to make sure that you are taking the time to go inward and hear your inner self, hear what your ancestors have to say. It is better and safer to wait than to try to undo spiritual misalignment, which unfortunately happens often with individuals that are new to the faith. You know, connect with the ancestors, which I'm going to talk about here in a moment. Ask them to show you the way, right? Ask them for signs, right? And remember, sometimes you receive signs and they're quiet and subtle. So you have to learn to build your discernment muscles. You have to learn to build your intuition muscles. You have to learn to build just basic street common sense muscles. As the saying goes, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And in Haitian Vodou, when the student is ready, the community will appear. And I'm sharing all of this not to scare you, but to make sure that you have both your two eyes and your third eye wide open should you feel called to this faith tradition. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and wrap up our rules of engagement. Hope you're enjoying today's episode. Have a question, comment, or feedback? Feel free to send us an email at aguacedito@gmail.com. That's aguacedito@gmail.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.aguacedito.com for more information about past episodes, show notes, and more.
Are you passionate about Haitian Vodou, its history, and its role in shaping the Haitian culture in the world? Then let us introduce you to COSAMBA, the premier scholarly association dedicated to the study of Haitian Vodou and Pan-African religions. COSAMBA brings together scholars, practitioners, and the broader community to explore the richness of Pan-African traditions. Through research, conferences, and community engagement, COSAMBA keeps the sacred tradition of Haitian Vodou alive while fostering deeper understandings. Whether you're a scholar, a student, or simply someone seeking to learn more about these powerful faith traditions, COSAMBA is your gateway to knowledge and connections. Visit COSAMBA, COSAMBA.org to learn more and join the movement.
Want to make a difference in a child's life? The Empowerment Network 10 Global, founded by Dr. Charlene Desir, is transforming communities by providing children with opportunities to learn, grow, and thrive. Through summer camps, leadership programs, and educational support, 10 Global creates safe, nurturing spaces where children can develop confidence, life skills, and a brighter future. Centered in Haitian Vodou cosmology and African spirituality, these programs give kids the tools they need to succeed, whether it's academically, socially, spiritually, or emotionally. But we need your help. By donating, volunteering, or spreading the word, you can help provide scholarships, supplies, and life-changing experiences for these young minds. Visit 10global.org today. That's TENGLOBAL.org. Get involved or get connected. Together, we empower. Together, we rise. Rule of engagement number three. So we've got five rules of engagement. So I'm on number three. Rule of engagement number three. This kind of goes back to what I started at the end of rule engagement number two, trusting your timing. Rule of engagement number three, the true work in the path of Vodou begins with yourself and your ancestors, okay? So I want to go back to listening to your intuition and
take action when you feel that sense of alignment, right? To take an what I call it an inspired step. So yes, Vodou is prayer, but Vodou is also action. But it is about taking an inspired action, right? And I'm speaking from my own experience and the experience of those around me. But I find that when we listen to our intuition and we take those inspired action, it really helps create a series and a ripple effect of revealing moments by moments that essentially shape your journey, right? And being able to be in alignment with that can be a pretty powerful, grounded way to really embody the journey of your life's mission. So taking the time to build those muscles, and you'll find that the more you take those inspired steps, the more they beget additional inspired steps to take, additional understanding intuitively of things to do or not to do, right? You begin to really build that sense of discernment, what I call that internal spiritual discipline. And you get a chance to really connect and sit with what you're learning and growing through that inner work, through that self-reflection. And sometimes to get to that level of intuition sometimes requires some shadow work. You know, we don't talk about shadow work in this specific season. It may be something if you're interested in, I'm happy to talk about shadow work and what that can specifically mean from a Haitian Vodou lens. Feel free to email me at aguacerito@gmail.com. If that's something that you want me to hear and talk about. But sometimes, you know, individuals do shadow work, not only from a spiritual lens, sometimes individuals do shadow work, you know, going to counseling and therapy, right? And that can sometimes help increase your level of intuition, your level of discernment, your level of internal discipline. But really, after you've really taken the path of, you know, taking in, doing the inner work, Vodou begins with connecting and honoring your ancestors. To me, that is where any spiritual work should begin. So if you feel called to Vodou, begin with the work internally and begin with your ancestors. And if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I don't really have a relationship with my ancestors, I would say start there. Take some time and build a strong ancestor veneration practice that aligns and is meaningful to you. And at the same time, doesn't mean you don't have to continue stop learning Vodou, right? You can continue learning Vodou, continue doing research, but take the time in practice to venerate your ancestors and build a strong spiritual relationship with them. It is okay. It is perfectly okay if you remain focused on just ancestor veneration as your mode of spiritual practice for some time. That is a total, I think it's honestly one of the best ways to begin a path into Haitian Vodou is to begin with a strong foundation of your ancestor connection. And I talk about honoring the ancestors in episode 13. So if you haven't gotten a chance to listen to that, take a listen. Again, I scratched the surface in that episode, but it gives you enough to kind of start to think about this in a little bit more of a more productive and more tangible way. I know many individuals that, you know, eventually were called into Haitian Vodou and are Vodouisans. Some of them are initiated. And I know many of them that spent years simply venerating their ancestors. They spent many years venerating their ancestors. And then one day they got the call, right? I call it the appel, right? One day out of nowhere, as they're venerating their ancestors, they get the call directly from the laws through their ancestors. And many individuals get instructions, right, from their ancestors on not only what to do or getting specific information from specific laws, but sometimes the ancestors, they will provide instructions on who to go to, which elder to go to, or which community they should reach out to, etc. And again, there's no better way then to walk the path into Haitian Vodou, then it being cleared and vetted by your ancestors. Like that is like the most guaranteed way and path into this specific faith tradition. And even I think sometimes there's this idea that, okay, for my ancestors to give me the instructions to go into Vodou, that means I have to have been Haitian or have Haitian descent. That is sometimes the case, but that's not always entirely the case. Sometimes you are called into Vodou again and you and individuals are not of Haitian descent, or they don't have any type of lineage connection, but it doesn't mean that that is not their path. And their ancestors can still give them that information. I've seen this time and time again. So even if you're not Haitian, you are still expected to build a relationship with your ancestors first, because they are a gateway to the laws. They are going to spiritually support your specific path, right? So it's really important to take the time to, again, listen to your inner voice, build a strong relationship with your ancestors, and build that internal discipline, right? Internal discipline, whether that's prayers, that's meditation, right? Listening to your inner self, and being able to build that sense of trust within yourself. Building that sense of trust within yourself begets more discernment. It begets more intuitive understanding, which gives you, again, these are really good foundational tools to becoming a Vodouisan, particularly when the time is right, if it is right for you to go further in your journey towards joining a community. Rule of engagement number 4. Understand the laws. Taking time to understand what the laws are and understand that they are a family that work together. They are not individual spirits, right? So taking the time to understand the laws is going to be rule number 4. The laws, I'm going to say this loud for those, as they say, for those in the back. The laws are nothing to be played with. It is important that when you approach the laws, especially from a decolonized lens, there's sometimes this perception that because the laws are able to speak to us either in person through possession, either in dreams, there's a sense of accessibility that you have to these divinities in Haitian Vodou that is just not the case in many other faith traditions. And I think that's one of the unique beauties of this faith tradition is the accessibility that you can actually pray to a divinity and they can talk to you and you can talk back and have a conversation back and forth, whether that's in person or that's through dreams or in other types of channeled ways. It is such a beautiful experience and it's such a way to connect. However, don't mistake their accessibility, and in some cases, don't mistake their playful personalities for those laws that have a little bit more of a joyful, playful personality. Do not mistake these as a joke or as casual encounters. This goes back to rule number 1, right? Always approach Haitian Vodou with honor and respect. And I say the laws are nothing to be played with because you got to remember who they are and what they are. You know, we took time in episode 15 to break down what a law is. So check that out if you haven't had a chance to do so. But laws are primordial beings. Many of the laws that you may encounter or end up having connections with are literally forces of nature. And they're forces of nature that I think sometimes is beyond our human comprehension. many of the laws are essentially elevated ancestors that have been in existence for thousands and thousands of years. And in some cases, some of the divinities that we are fortunate to have access to in Haitian Vodou are literal expressions. They're literal epithets of human expression. For example, have you ever had a conversation with the human expression of rage? I think about the epithet of Ezuli Jewuj. She is the epithet of human rage. Ogu Jewuj, epithet of human rage. And they were birth divinities from the pains of the enslaved Africans during the Haitian revolutions. They became divinities birthed through this oppression, through this time in history. So these are divinities that are no joke. It is important to treat them as such. They are not, the laws are not just divinities that you can go and call almost like an ATM. You light a candle and then you expect them to do something, and then you light a candle and you expect them to do something. That is not how the laws work. They should not ever, ever be summoned for entertainment purposes. They should not ever be summoned for just any sort of kind of jokes or anything to kind of show them off or any of those sorts of things. It is important that you understand how valuable and how divine these beings are. And most importantly, the laws are a family. And they are a family, and just like your ancestors, you build relationships with the laws over time through honoring them, through a sense of reciprocity with them, and through ritual. It is important for you to understand that perspective. You want to always show the laws honor, humility, and utmost respect at all times. Now, sometimes if they may say something, or you hear something, or maybe, you know, for those that do not speak Creole, you don't understand, tell them you don't understand, right? If you need help, tell them you need help, but never, ever disrespect them. You definitely don't want to, kind of get angry at them or show any form of disrespect. You know, you also don't want to treat them like a genie in a bottle, right? So again, it is not about transactional, like ATM type of approaches with the laws. If you do so, they may get very upset, and they may, you know, they may decide that they want nothing to do with you. Again, they can read through intent, right? They can read your heart and know what your intent is. And so if you're coming in trying to command an energy, you're trying to capture an energy or whatever the case is, know that these types of things can lead to negative spiritual consequences, because the laws are about service. They're about service to humanity, and you serving them is about service to the tradition. So it is important to understand this reciprocal nature and this reciprocal balancing act of harmony with the cosmos. Last thing I'll say about this, never, ever, ever make promises you cannot keep with the laws. That is, unfortunately, sometimes people make certain promises, and because they, you know, individuals sometimes can get away with saying empty promises to humans, they think they can do the same with the laws. These are sacred, many of them primordial beings, many of them forces of nature, many of them literal epithets of human expressions. You do not want to mess around and tell them you're going to do something and you don't do it. And maybe sometimes had never had an intention to do it, right? And it's not that things, you know, sometimes things happen and you're not able to for whatever the case is. However, have a conversation with them, build a relationship, right? Build that sense of trust, just like you would build a trust with anyone else, right? So if you don't really know someone and they tell you something and they promise you something and they don't keep it, it's harder to believe them because you didn't have that trust in the first place. So take the time as you're getting to know different laws, build that sense of trust. Never ever make promises you can't keep, because your word is deemed sacred to the laws, and broken promises, even if they were unintentionally broken, but they were broken, they can sometimes come with severe, severe spiritual consequences. And my last rule, rule number 5, don't appropriate or attempt to change Haitian voodoo to your liking. And we see this sometimes happening where individuals may say, oh, okay, I know the reglement of my laku or my societe is this, but I don't like that color, so I'm going to change the color. Or I don't like this song, so I'm going to change that. Or I don't like these images that my bitation uses, so I'm going to use veves instead, right? So regardless of whatever the traditions are, it is important, whether you are Haitian or you are not Haitian, understanding the règlement of your community, understanding the règlement that has been handed to you, is extremely, extremely important. And I talk about règlement in episode 16. So if you're wondering what is that, if you're new to the show, check out episode 16 to understand rule number 5 of engagement. You want to avoid cherry picking aspects of the practice that you want to do and leaving others behind. If you are given a particular règlement, a particular tradition of how to do things, it is important. There's a reason why certain aspects of a practice is built with a specific structure and order. There's a reason that the ancestors left a blueprint, which is what règlement is. It's essentially a spiritual blueprint designed to help carry forth the tradition from a spiritual perspective for a particular lineage. There is reasons for things being done. Now, it's not to say that sometimes, you know, whether it's the environment that you're in, certain things sometimes call for adjustments. Should you find yourself in a space where you're having to make certain adjustments in order to meet the règlement of the faith tradition that you've inherited, make sure to connect with the laws first, right? Talk to them, make sure that you've gotten the green light, right? Or you've gotten the green light from your elders if you're part of a broader community. Right. But avoid appropriating or cherry picking things without understanding the full context of why they were placed there in the first place. You know, voodoo is not a buffet. It is not a toolkit for just aesthetic purposes or for your own spirit experimentation. I like to say voodoo is also not Burger King. You cannot just have it your way. Right. Voodoo is a community held ancestral tradition, and it is important to honor the perspectives, honor the blueprint that was placed before you, given all of the brutal experiences that many enslaved Africans went through in order to infuse and blend and create this religious system. It is important to maintain that localized order as you have been inherited to do so. So it's important to also acknowledge that voodoo is not a faith tradition to remix, right? It's important to listen and learn and support, not just reinterpret or reframe things to make them easier for you, or because you just want to create a certain aesthetic or whatever the case is. It is important that you continue to center, how do I connect to spirit? How do I stay connected to myself? How do I stay connected to my ancestors, right? How do I stay and continue to be a bearer of light in this tradition as it's been given to me? Understanding that any voodooism that whether they're new or they're established, being a Bodouisan comes with immense responsibility. So it's important that we move away from this Western way of consumption. There's sometimes it's like, oh, we're going to take stuff and we're going to consume it to our needs. And really, a true Bodouisan's mindset is one of humility and service, right? Not entitlement. This concludes today's season one finale, part one. This is, again, one of three. Do you feel called to Haitian Vodou? Tune in as we have a season one finale, part two, coming up next week. And I'm really excited about that as we take some time to talk through and just kind of reflect overall within the season. Part three is going to be kind of a reflection of the future. So we look forward to having you and being part of our season finale journey. Thank you for tuning into the Agua Cerito podcast. For joining us on the Agua Cerito podcast show. Together we honor our ancestors, embrace the beauty of Vodou, and step boldly toward liberation. If this episode resonated with you, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. It helps us amplify the spirit of Haitian Vodou even further. Join us next week as we continue this journey to connect, inspire, and uplift. Until then, walk boldly with your spirits, and remember, the Agua Cerito Show is not just a podcast.
It is a vibration, a celebration, a path to freedom.